midnight. Echoes from the past I hear. Hope and singing, that is bringing from that lovely land somewhere. Precious memories, now they linger. How they ever flood my soul.
Song right there. I thought today about days gone by sitting at the table. My mother and father. I remember Mama getting up cooking breakfast. Boy, that was a welcome. Wake up, smell her good cooking. Go in there and sit down at the table, boy, and she'd have it fixed. Man, that was a blessing. I miss those days. Man, to be able to sit there as a family and at the table there gathered. Because we didn't have nothing to interrupt that. There wasn't no texting. Wasn't no cell phones going off. Matter of fact, I think we had a phone, but it never did ever ring. But I tell you what, boy, we had the blessing of a family, just a small family unit. I was the only child. But boy, I was rich and didn't know it, Brother Melvin.
Amen.
Man, oh man. Amen. Smell bacon frying. Carolyn, get up and there'd be gravy and biscuits, boy. Eggs, glory to God. Man, no wonder. Brother Al, instead of making him hungry, man, smell that country ham. It might kill you, but make you enjoy it. I'm telling you, boy, in good days. Mom used to make, we was poor, and she'd start out with something like a roast, and we'd transform it long before they ever had that cartoon or movie, the Transformers. That roast would transfer to a soup or a stew, and the last thing that was left for it, Molly, was hash. And I loved hash. And Mama, one time I was up in years, she said, "What do you want for your birthday?" And I said, "Well, Mama, what I want, it'd be kind of hard." She said, "Well, what do you want?" I said, "I'd like to have some of that hash." And she laughed, thought that's funny. Man, that's part of my childhood. I remember sitting down there and eating that hash. Just all it was potatoes, onions, and meat, and some kind of gravy in there, but I loved it. And boy, I tell you what, just rich, precious memories. Amen. If anybody's got anything on your heart tonight, I'll give you the opportunity to say something. If you don't, hold on. We've been getting right into the message tonight. You got something, Brother Melvin? Oh, yeah, I would say that for sure. Psalms 19 tonight. And I am looking forward to preaching this message. I will say this, it'll be a rather lengthy message. I can't figure out no way around it. I'll actually be reading quite a bit of Scripture tonight. I know the Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, that the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth light. And we will get in that category tonight of a lengthy reading of the Word of God. And I wouldn't do it if I didn't think it was necessary. But the context of this message tonight, I know it's needful. I know I need it. And I know you're like me, you need it too. And you'll see what I mean here. But Psalms 19, if you'll open up your Bible to Psalms 19, we won't read but a few verses there. Psalms 19, we'll read verse 12 down to the end. And the Bible says, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. But I want to preach tonight on understanding errors. And I'm just taking a little bit out of verse number 12, where it said, who can understand his errors? And I need your prayers tonight. I desire you to pray with me and for me tonight. Father, we thank you for the precious word of God. Lord, we are standing, Father, tonight where we're in dire need of your help. I pray, Lord, you'd undergird us tonight and give us, Lord, strength from on high. Give us, Lord, leadership, guidance, and discernment. I pray, Father God, tonight you give us clarity of thought. Lord, you've already been speaking to us about this message. Lord, now the time has come. Father, deliver this message. I just pray it be ordained of God, be blessed of God, be used of God to help us all in the area, Lord, Father, of living for God. And we'll thank you and praise you for whatever you do and give you the glory for it all. In Jesus' blessed name, ask it. Amen. The psalmist here, great truth. Who can understand his errors? And time I get down this message, you'll know why I'm preaching this. But the Bible does say in Romans chapter 3, verse 11, that there's none that understandeth, and we're all in this category. And I aim to read quite a bit of scripture before I ever preach, so bear with me. It's going to be a lengthy bunch of reading. We're going to go now to Job chapter 28. I've got to read three passages and then I'll preach. Job 28. You can listen or turn there. But that's what we've got. We've got a complete Bible and a complete Savior. Job chapter 28, starting in verse number 20. It says, whence then cometh wisdom? And where is the place of understanding? Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living and kept close from the fowls of the air. Destruction and death say, we've heard the fame thereof with our ears. God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof. For he looketh to the ends of the earth, and seeth under the whole heaven, to make the weight for the winds. He weigheth the waters by measure. When he made a decree for the rain, and a way for the lightning of the thunder, then did he see it, and declared, he prepared it, yea, and searched it out. And the man, he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that's wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. We'll go to Proverbs chapter 8. Like I said, I've got to read several scriptures here, and then I will preach, I promise you. I don't like to read a lot of scripture. I'd rather read one verse, have God on it, but I don't see no way around this. I'm actually going to read the whole chapter, Proverbs chapter 8. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of the high places, by the way in the places of the pass. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call. My voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom. Yea, fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things, for my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness, and there is nothing forward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way in the forward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine, sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruits better than gold, yea, than fine gold. My revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance. And I will fill their treasures. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way, before His works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills I was brought forth. While as yet He had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When He prepared the heavens, I was there. When He set a compass upon the face of the depth, when He established the clouds above, when He strengthened the fountains of the deep, when He gave to the sea His decree that the waters should not pass His commandment, when He appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by Him as one brought up with Him. And I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him, rejoicing in the habitable part of His earth. And my delights were with the sons of men. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul, and all those that hate me love death. One more place. Jeremiah chapter 9. Starting in verse 23, luckily just two verses here, it looks like. It says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exerciseth loving kindness, judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, saith the Lord. I'll tell you what, buddy. The Bible says that God's ways are past finding out in Romans chapter 11, verse 33. But I want to preach tonight who can understand His errors. God has a whole lot to do with helping us to understand our problems, our sins, our mistakes. And the Bible tells it that the Word of God in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the aside and asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. If it wasn't for the Word of God, we couldn't discern whether something was right or not. And I thank God for that discernment that the Word of God gives. But also in James chapter 1, verse 23, it says that words like a mirror that a man can behold himself in and see himself. I mentioned this morning about I saw myself. I saw the real Eddie Wade. I saw myself in the mirror of God, Sister Carolyn. I tell you what, buddy, it was a different image of what I've been used to looking at. But also in St. John chapter 16, verse number 8, the Word of God is a reprover. Amen. In John chapter 2, verse 22, the Word of God is a reminder. And in Romans chapter 7, verse number 7, the Word of God is a teacher. Amen. And sometimes we need the Holy Spirit to wipe off the window so that we can see, because 1 Corinthians 13, 12 says we see through a glass darkly. Amen. I'll tell you what, I'm glad, praise God, that God's interested in helping His children, amen. I've been saved now 23 years, and I tell you what, I know a little bit more than I did before I got saved, but what preceded this message, the reason I'm preaching tonight, I listened to a preacher preach this week, Brother Noel Brautman, And I tell you what, he said something I couldn't deny. Every now and then a preacher will say something, you just can't shake it because it's so real. And it's so truth, and you just can't shake it off. Brother Noel was talking about that he'd had a visiting preacher, Brother Alvis, come over and preach for him. And he said when he got there, Brother Lloyd, he said he noticed a lost man came into the service, and they'd been going out working hard trying to get this lost man in. And it is hard to get lost people in, but they'd worked hard, Margaret, to get this lost man in. And Brother Noah here, he done by this amazing preacher to preach that night. And Brother Noah Brockman, he's a great man of God, gracious man, and a very seasoned man. I love him. But he told this on the radio. He said that visiting preacher got up there and he said he got to preaching on tithing. And Brother Noah said, I got mad. He said, I got so mad I couldn't even enjoy the service. He said, I was over a fuming and burning up, thinking, what's this guy thinking? Man, he said, I'll tell you, he said, oh, this is going to be a mess. He said, I got a lost man here and he's preaching on tithing. I've been there and done that, Brother Melvin. I'll tell you what, we all think we've all arrived, got it all figured out, you know, that we know how things ought to be and we know how many songs need to be sung and we know where to start and where to stop. And we start, you know, and stop dick dry. Noah said, buddy, he said, I sit over there and foamed and swelled and then bit nails off. And he said, that guy got done preaching. They gave the invitation. That lost man come forward, got saved, and three more people joined with him. And Brother Noah said, the sad thing was, he said, I couldn't even enjoy it, amen. It ain't been that long ago we had a young preacher here. And the reason I said I couldn't get around what Brother Noah said, we had a young preacher come over here, Brother Michael McGuire. Y'all remember him, young preacher? I loved him. Brought enough family to fill the whole pew. But he preached on that Sunday night, and I'm like, Brother Noah, I looked, and there was lost people come in. And I felt like, you know, I ought to meddle just a little bit in the preaching, you know. And I went over and I said, Brother Michael, I just want you to know we got some lost people here tonight. He got up there that night and preached out of 1 John, I think it's chapter 2 or something like that. Marvel not that the world hates you. 1 John 2:13 or something like that. Marvel not that the world hates you. And I sit over there like Brother Noah and I couldn't even enjoy the service. But I tell you what, we need to realize that God knows what He's doing. Lots of times God's doing something I ain't even got a clue about, and I'd be better off not to know what the Lord's doing sometimes. But I'm like Brother Noah. I had to amen what Brother Noah said. He said, I've been better off just enjoying the service, trusting the Lord that He knew what He's doing, and quit thinking I knew what I was doing. Amen. I think all preachers in that category, we think, you know, we've arrived, you know. I catch myself more often than not having me to one teach me again what be the oracles of God, what needs to be done and how it needs to be done. And I don't think there is no discharge, no graduation. I think we're kind of a progressive type of growing in the Lord. Amen. And it'd be good if we all did have a discernment. Be good if we all did have understanding, wisdom, all that stuff. But I'll tell you what, buddy. Michael McGuire came on that February 6, 2012. And I have to admit, priest marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you, I couldn't enjoy the service no more than Brother Noah could when his visiting preacher preached on tithing. Amen. May 16, 1999. I started a radio ministry at the recommendation of my pastor. He said, Brother Eddie, my son's quitting his radio ministry down there in Tompkinsville. The radio station was WTKY. He said, Brother Eddie, you ought to go down there and take that up. He told me he ought to keep on going. And I'm young, man. I'm just looking for an opening. You know, I said, praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Rick. Took off running. And I didn't know where I was going. Just going. You ever been there? I mean, just going. I got down there, I drove down Tompkinsville like an idiot. Got down there, met this man, I got there like an hour or two early. And I'm always, and when I'm going somewhere like that, I'm always afraid of getting there late, but I got there kind of early. And I met this man that owned the radio station, Brother Melvin, he's 71 years old, and his name was J.K. Whittemore. He didn't know me, I didn't know him. And I told him, I said, Mr. Whittemore, my name's Eddie Wade. I said, I've come down here to keep this radio program going from Bethel Baptist Church here, and I'll be preaching. Come on in. Sue, is that right? Good to have you.
I walked up a hill.
That's all right. Good to have you. We'll give you a ride home somehow.
No, I walked back.
All right. Good to have you. Get a seat.
I need to lose weight.
That's all right. Good to have you. I was praying for you last night. Good to see you.
We moved right down here.
Amen. Well, I tell you what, I met this man, and he didn't have much to do with preachers. He made fun of preachers, and he had all kind of preachers joke, and he made me about half sick. I'm already nervous. I mean, here I am. I've never preached on a radio program before, and man, I'm nervous, and he's just, for lack of better words, not making it much better, Molly. But it finally come time for preaching time. He told me, he went and got this big tall microphone, brought it up there and stood out there in front of me, looked like what Elvis Presley sung into when he sung that song, Jailhouse Rock. I mean, great old big chrome microphone. He said, I'll go in there and I'll turn that microphone on and I'll motion you, let you know that it's live, you'll be ready. Like I said, he didn't know me and I didn't know him, Brother Melvin. He'd been making all kind of light about preachers and things they'd done and about mistakes they'd made, and man, he didn't have much use for it. And man, I'm sitting there trying to keep my mind, trying to stay focused, and he let that arm go down. He said, you're live, you know, I mean, he's in there in the booth, the door's shut. And I cut out of preaching Brother Bobby. And you know, I wasn't paying no attention to him, man. I'm trying to preach in that microphone like I'm at a Billy Graham crusade. You know, I'm letting it rip, boy, thinking everybody and their brothers out there. Listen, old Brother Eddie screaming in this microphone. About middle ways in that service, J.K. Whittemore come out of that little office there at that radio station, fell across that counter right there. And I mean, brother, he wasn't playing no games either. He fell across that counter, and I stopped preaching and went over there, and I said, oh, you're all right. I thought he was having a heart attack. He said, no, I'm lost. I'm going to hell. Amen. You just don't never know what God's doing, Carolyn. I had no idea how God was going to do this whole thing, but I want you to know God ministered that man through a young preacher named Eddie Wade, ministered to him to the point there was no missing it. I'm telling you, buddy, it's good sometimes not to know what God's doing, amen. I had no idea God was dealing with J.K. Whittemore. I'm trying to get, you know, this message out on the airways, and God had that message right where it needed to be, and He took that message right there and whooped J.K. Whittemore to the point he realized he's lost and undone and without God. And I tell you what, buddy, wasn't praying when he come out of that room, amen. That's the way the Word of God is, amen. It's sharp, powerful. Man, I'll tell you what, it still gets the job done. Paul told Timothy, just preach the Word, boy. I'll tell you what, that was May the 16th, 1999. J.K. Whittemore was a lost man. And the joke stopped when the preachers got going, amen. But I'll tell you what, you just don't never know what God's doing. You don't never know how God's going to do something. God told Gideon in Judges chapter 7, verse number 2, He told him, he said, you got too many men, boy. Gideon looked and he thought, man, we ain't got enough. What do you mean we got too many? God said, you got too many. He said, I'm afraid that Israel will think they delivered themselves by their own means. He said, you got too many men. And God took that number down to 300, Brother Bobby, and they scared to death. Yeah. They went out against the multitude. The Bible said that no man could number for multitude. The Bible said they looked like grasshoppers on the hillside, the Midianites and Amalekites. Man, can you imagine? Here's Gideon with 300 men, and I mean, here's millions of people out here on the landscape out there. And God told him he had too many. That's the way God works. I always think, Lord, you'll do it this way. Lord, I believe it'd be better if you'd done it like this. I tell you, I get in that category. I just need to let the Lord be God, and I need to be a servant. Let the Lord, you know, just be an instrument that God could work through, amen. Just be a conduit that He could flow through, amen. I'll tell you what, God took 300 men right there, buddy, and He showed some Midianites and some Amaleks, that, buddy, He was God, amen. And I'll tell you, buddy, verse 12 talked about there were multitude without number like grasshoppers covering the landscape, amen. I get like that sometimes. I get to thinking, boy, I've arrived. I get to thinking that I've got knowledge, that I've got it figured out, that I know somewhat of what needs to be done, how it needs to be done. Most of the time, I'd be better off just keep my mouth shut and be still and know that He's God. Amen. But I'll tell you what, buddy, we're getting that category. We're getting that category of thinking that we know somewhat of how things need to be done. You know, the Bible talks about, you know, that we need to become like little children. Most times, little children, they don't have much to say. Them two, Billy and Sharon, you can't hardly get them shaking hands, much less say anything. Little Katie, she'll say more than little Sky. That's what God tells us to be. And it must have been something when God told Moses, just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Can you imagine? You're the leader of 1 million Israelites. God tells you not to do nothing. Here comes Pharaoh down, and they're coming down breathing, threatening, firing the air, and they got chariots and horses. God said, just stand still, boys. Amen. I'll tell you what, buddy, sometimes God's doing work. I don't even know what he's doing. I don't even know where he's doing. Job said he worketh on the right hand. I can't perceive it, and on the left. And I tell you what, sometimes God works and we ain't got a clue what God's doing. I saw people fall out that God was dealing with, and I had no idea at all. Amen. I mean, I had no idea God was dealing with J.K. Whittemore. But when he fell across that counter, I knew something was up. Amen. I mean, buddy, he cried out, said, I'm lost. I'm going to hell. As far as I know, J.K. Whittemore never got saved. J.K. Whittemore, I worked with that man probably more so than I've ever worked with any man that I know. I got to loving that man. I tell you what, I went an extra mile with him. I told him plainly how to be saved. I prayed for him and fasted for him. I brought him tracks and tapes. And I tell you what, buddy, he heard enough preaching that he should have got saved. Amen. Why he put it off, I have no answer for that. I do know one thing. I was there the day God dealt with him, Margaret. I remember him coming out of that office, buddy, and he wasn't playing. I remember him falling across that countertop, buddy. And I'll tell you what, God had a hold of him. And the best thing he could have did right there was say, I need to get saved. I mean, how to be saved. He didn't tell me he's lost, but he wasn't interested in getting saved. It's a sad commentary when God deals with someone to point, there ain't no mission, there ain't nothing they can do about it but declare they're lost and they need to be saved, but they don't want to get saved. How in the world can God save a man that won't let him? Amen. I don't have an answer for that. There have been a few times over at Bethel Baptist Church that I sat there and thought God wasn't doing nothing. I thought it was the deadest service there ever was, and people fall out in the aisle and weep and cry and people get saved. And I sit there and wonder, how in the world did this happen? Just don't know. God's ways are past finding out. His ways ain't like our ways. We try to figure things out. You know, Naaman thought, you know, about Elisha. He said, I thought surely he'd come out, put his hand upon that place of my leprosy and call upon his God and heal me. And God had something else in mind. He told him to go down to Jordan, dip 7 times. Yep. Not one time. Mm-hmm. He said, go there and dip 7 times. And boy, old Naaman got mad. He said, that ain't the way I had it planned out. He got mad, and one of his servants said, if he asked you to do some hard thing, wouldn't you have done it? He said, well, yeah. He said, well, why not just simply go down and dip and be clean? You know, I'll be honest with you, we all, sometimes we'd be better off if God just kind of opened our eyes a little bit with eyesight, unstopped our ears a little bit, knocked some of the crust off our hearts so we could actually hear the voice of God and know somewhat of what God's doing. Amen. 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 Oh, me. Boy, I'll tell you what, I've seen God do a lot of things. I remember one time I was up on the streets of Columbus, Ohio. And I tell you what, buddy, I got away from my group somehow. I don't know how. I ended up in an alley. How I ended back there, I still to this day don't have a clue. But I'm back in this alley back there preaching. And the next thing I know, these great big monster black men look like linebackers for some big football team or something like that. I don't know what you call them. They call them fox geese or something. Anyway, they was all gathered around me. And if Luke could kill, I'd be a dead man. Yeah. Lyman, yeah. I mean, these are big old boys. They had no neck, just had their heads stuck on their shoulders, and they're coming in, circling around me, and here I am, little old scrawny preacher from Glasgow, Kentucky, up there preaching, looked like about like Michael McGuire, just looked like a scarecrow compared to these men. But they closed in on me, and I thought, well, this is it. What a way to go. Amen. I mean, lift my hand up, preaching all I could preach, and right in the middle of all of that, a young girl broke her way through that line. And I don't know where in the world she came from, but I was glad to see her. She came up to me and she said, preacher, you got any tracks? I opened up my pocket and gave her every one I had. She said, thank you. She went over to Brother Melvin and told those men. And she was a very attractive young lady. She said, you men, get over here and sit down. And they did it, Sue. Hey, one of them sat down just like little puppies. And she said, y'all need to hear what this man's got to say. And she said, preach, preacher. I said, hallelujah. But I'll tell you what, the way I looked at it, I thought, this is it. It's too late for 911. Oh, anyway, it's fixed to be a greasy spot. And these men, buddy, I'll tell you what, they wasn't backing down. They was going in, amen. But I'll tell you what, buddy, thank God for that young lady, amen. She had them sitting down over there, and she said, preach, boy, amen. I cut loose, amen. I mean, I ain't much of a preacher, but I cut loose. For all that's in me, I preached to them men right there. Amen, I liked it, buddy, but I thank God for her. She sat right down there in the midst of them, and amen to every word. Hallelujah. Amen. But I'll tell you what, who can understand his errors? Man, I got faults. My wife tells me all of my faults. I'm sure y'all probably got somebody tells you yours. Bible talks about a helpmate for the man. She helps me know my faults. Margaret don't do you like it, does she, look, Brother Melvin?
She works
on me. Yeah, boy. Amen. I try to tell her, Brother Bobby, it's a waste of time. I try to. I say, remember that time? She said, forget about that. I'm supposed to forget about all the mistakes she makes. But she makes sure I don't ever get to forget none of mine I make. I said, look, honey, that's a long time ago. Forget about that. Move on. You know, even greater, my wife. I got the Word of God. First year I got saved, April 27th, 1988, I made up my mind I was going to read my Bible all the way through that year. Before the end of that year, Brother Alvis, I spent more time on my knees weeping, telling God I'm sorry, than I did reading. I'd read a little bit, get convicted about life I'd lived, things I'd done, fall down on the bedside and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm guilty. Oh me, what an experience that was, read the Word of God through for the first time. Man, the Word of God, it don't return void. I'm telling you, it still gets the job done. And if men would spend some time in the Word of God, I believe we'd be more godly. I believe we'd be more able to be used of God for the work of God. Amen. Yeah. Oh me, I think we spend too much time distant from the Word of God and distant. Me and Brother Melvin was trying to get those men where we went over Brother Cal. Over at Brother Cal Burton's, brother. Is that right, Cal?
Cal
Burton's over there. Cal, thank you, brother. Brother Cal Burton's over there. We was trying to get them to come. They said, well, maybe we might sometime. But you know, that's what it is. Maybe we might. I'll tell you what, if you ever come, the Bible mentioned in the book of Psalms, said, until I went to the sanctuary of God, then understood I. There's some things you'll never understand till you come to the house of God and the Holy Spirit of God starts dealing with you. Amen. The Bible talks about God dealing with us as sons. There's some things I need, Molly, that only God can give me. Because I'll tell you what, buddy, He's the one that loves me enough to tell me what I need to hear and the way I need to hear it, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you, Brother Howard. But I'll tell you what, sometimes, buddy, we're stubborn about coming, stubborn about hearing, stubborn about doing what God wants us to do. We've got problems, amen. The Bible's one of the kind of things that helps us with those problems. We can't understand our faults. We can't understand our errors. There ain't none that understand it, Romans says. But I'll tell you what, I've met some that thought they had it all figured out. Amen. I've met some that thought maybe God owed them something. Maybe they're high achievers or something. I believe they kind of just need to go back and start all over again. They made shipwreck. Amen. But I'm glad, praise God, God made it work. Even someone as dumb as Eddie Wade could get something from the Lord. Amen. Man, He didn't put it up there out of reach. He put it down there where we could get all you want. Man, oh man, I was telling a black lady this week about getting saved, and boy, she's really enjoying it, so I thought I'd spend a little while talking about it. I told her, I said, I didn't just get a sample. I said, I got in the buffet line. I found out there's plenty. There's all you want. You can have all you want. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Boy, the good things of God. The Bible talks about the things of God, that there's nothing to be refused. All the promises of God in Him are yea and amen. I mean, you can have all you want. God's got plenty. Amen. And He loves to bless. And He loves to give. And He'll give it to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, He will. But most of the things I've learned the hard way. But I have learned them, amen. I've learned there is a time to listen. There is a time to speak. There's a time to sit down, a time to stand up. Amen. The Bible's clear on things like that right there. But some of the things in the Bible, it's not so clear. That's why you need to spend some time in there so you can rightly divide it. The Bible talks about rightly dividing the Word of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman need not be ashamed. Rightly dividing the Word of truth. If you don't rightly divide it, it won't make no sense. But when you put it where it's supposed to be in the context it's talking about, it'll say what it's supposed to say. It'll mean what it's supposed to mean. It won't make a mistake. Because the Bible said God's not the author of confusion. And some people are confused about what the Bible says. They just need to read it again. They need to ask for understanding. James said, as any that lacks understanding, let him ask God. Amen. But sometimes, better, I need God's help. Sometimes, better, I remember one time I've made a terrible mistake. I come home from work and I wanted my wife to have fried chicken, fried potatoes, pinto beans, cornbread. I got home, Margaret, and she had potato soup fixed. I got big and mad. And I didn't just stick one foot in my mouth. I stuck both of them in there. She went to the bedroom crying. And I done went beyond the appointed place there. I done messed it up. So I went in there and sat down, Bobby, and eat some of that potato soup. And after I eat some of it, I wish they hadn't said nothing. It's better than chicken and taters and pinto beans. All that. I had never eaten no potato soup. That's the first time I'd ever eat any. But I got big and mad. Potato soup. I said, I worked all day long and all you got is potato soup. Next day I went to work, Margaret. And I read a verse in the Bible. And here's what it said. Blessed is a den of herbs where love is and a stalled ox and hatred therewith. And I realized then, boy, I got about that tall. And I called home, told my wife, I said, honey, I love you. I'm sorry. And I wished I hadn't done that. It took a little while. But I'll tell you one thing, buddy, God got me where I need to be pretty quick. I read that verse. I'm in the cafeteria at Donnelly's and I just started weeping. People got up and left. They left me in there. I mean, I was sobbing out loud. I couldn't help it. I mean, it just literally got to where I needed it, Eddie, man. It hit me right in the heart. I'm crying out loud. I can't stop it. I'm crying uncontrollably. People didn't even come over and ask me what was wrong. They just got up and gave me a whole cafeteria. After I finally got done weeping, I cleaned myself up best I could and went out there and finished the day's work. And I stopped over at the church on the way home. I said, Lord, I said, I want to thank you, my wife. I want to thank you for finding someone that could put up with me and love me. And I said, I made a terrible mistake. And I said, I hope you could help me with it. Help us, Lord, that we might be able to get back to loving each other like we used to love each other. And I want you to forgive me. Man, sometimes it ain't easy to pray. But I prayed that little old pitiful prayer and drove home. Got there at the house, Molly opened the door. My wife's crying her eyes out. And she said, sit down right now. I need to talk to you. And so the first thing I thought was, who's died? And she said, God just spoke to me just now. She said, the Lord said we need to forgive each other and get back loving each other like we used to love each other. And she said, I want you to forgive me. And I looked about like a mule, I guess. Because, I mean, I'm the guilty one. And she's saying, I want you to forgive me. She ever done nothing wrong. And I said, honey, I want you to forgive me. And it wasn't too long, I'm even messed that up. But I'll tell you what, one thing about it, we ain't perfect. We ain't graduated. We're in a process of growing and learning to the statue of maturity where we can stand against the wiles of the devil and having done all we can stand there with, have the army on, and war good warfare. I don't know the way out of it. Man, we ain't in heaven yet. We ain't home yet. So the best thing I can tell is arm yourself because we're in a battle. The Bible said we do have an adversary. And that adversary is like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. His name is Satan. But not just him. Paul said there are many adversaries. There are enemies of the cross. There are somebody that don't want you to shout. Don't want you to sing. Don't want you to come to church and get a blessing. Amen. And sometimes it surprises you who those are. Like I said, I've kind of learned everything the hard way, but it didn't take me too long to get with the program to realize that the devil will use your own family sometimes to keep you from doing the things you know you need to do. I got a blessing. Listen, Brother Noah talked about that visiting preacher preaching on tithing. And he said he couldn't even enjoy the message that day because he knew there were lost men there. And he said he got mad. He said, I just fumed over there. Couldn't even enjoy it. And he said, God showed me that He is God, not me. And He saved that man. And two or three more with it. And Brother Noah said, I got over it, but it took a little while. But sometimes that's kind of predicament we get in where we don't understand that He's God. I'm not even a flea. in the category of the least of the least. And yet God put His hand on me and said, go preach. Man, I ain't kidding you. First time I preached, Brother Alvis, the Lord carried me like a suckling child. And I thought, there ain't nothing to this thing. It's a piece of cake. The next time the Lord withdrew Himself, and I have to admit, buddy, I found out, buddy, without God standing there with you, it ain't no fun. Amen? I don't mean it like it sounded, but I mean it ain't no fun at all if the Lord ain't there helping him. But I'll tell you what, buddy, if the Lord's a helping, it's a blessing. Amen? And the first time I stood, God carried me. And boy, I mean, He done it all. And all I did, for lack of a better word, just stand there and watch God do what He does. Amen? Next time He showed me what He's like. Buddy, without His help. And I found out, buddy, let the Lord do His part and I do my little part and He can get something done. Amen. But maybe you're here tonight. Maybe you're thinking about tonight. I've got this thing all figured out. I know how to be saved. I know I'm going to be saved. Or maybe I am saved. And I know all this. Man, I've got all it figured out. Ain't nothing new under the sun. I tell you what. You're in for a royal surprise. God's still got a lot of things He ain't done yet, a lot of things He's going to do. This world, the Bible said, is going to roll to and fro like a drunkard.
Yep.
And so, God's going to turn it upside down. Till this world acknowledges that He's God. Till they realize that they got something to do with Him and ain't no getting around God. Amen? I know we've come down to a godless society. There is a generation raised up now that doesn't know the Lord. But they are going to know Him. They're going to meet Him one way or another. Amen? Here's the way you're going to meet Him. You're either going to meet Him on your knees here, ask Him to be your Lord and Savior, or you're going to meet Him on that day when every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess that He's Lord. But one way or another, you're going to meet Him. Amen? Rick talked about Pilate. One time he preached a message about Pilate's wife coming to him. She said, how about nothing to do with that just man? He preached a message called Mission Impossible. There ain't no way not to have something to do with Jesus. For one thing, in Him we live and move and have our being. But another thing, the Bible said God's upon Him, given unto Him a name that at the name of Jesus every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. And the Bible said about Jesus that judgment been given unto Him and He's ready to judge the quick and the dead. And there just ain't no getting around not having nothing to do with Jesus. Best thing you can do is get to know Him. And I tell you what, another thing you need to do is get to know His Word, because He's in the volume of this book. It says, Lord, come in the volume of the book. It's written of me. There's just so much about Him. You know, one of the things you read this verse, it just goes over your head. But Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. That learn of me. For some reason or another, that don't register in our mind. We know so little about Him. That's why we need schools to teach our children about Him. That's why we need Sunday schools to teach our children about Him. We need teaching and preaching to teach people about Him. There's just a lot about Him people don't know. People don't. I worked with a guy, he couldn't believe, Brother Melvin, that Jesus was God. I said, Larry, you say, man, yeah. And you can't know, you can't believe that Jesus is God? I said, Larry, listen, Jesus was God manifested in the flesh. He's the only part of God you can even see. He got all big and mad. But before the day's over with, after he read a little bit of Bible, he come back and said, you's right. Everybody don't have perfect understanding. But the Bible is perfect. And it does say one thing. And it says what it means, and it means what it says. And the Bible said we ought to give most earnest heed to it, lest at any time we let it slip. We're to give place to it. We're to spend some time in it. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, I tell a lot of women this. Isaiah chapter 34 verse 16 says, seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate. One reason we got so much divorce in the world today is because men don't understand women and women don't understand men and neither one of them understand God. Amen. The Bible says two is better than one. It says, woe be on that man that alone when he falls has not another to help him up. But it says two better than one because they have heat. But it says a threefold cord is not easily broken. So you got a man and a woman and they merge, become a marriage. You put the Lord in that and you get that threefold unity there and there's a good chance they can make it. But marriage is better than join together and don't have the Lord in them. Ain't going to go too far. Now we've done got so low in our mind. we've done degraded down to the point now they're condoning same-sex unions. And I'll tell you what, I got a little pamphlet out there in my book, out there in my car, a little book I got at Bethel last night. I ain't read it all the way through. I've read a little bit of it. But I'll tell you one thing, buddy, it really pulls back the cover on this thing called the same-sex unions. Amen. Man, there's a whole lot going on. Amen. We can't understand our errors because, for one thing, we won't give no place to the Word of God. We can't understand our errors because, I'll tell you what, we won't give no place to God. And we're down here, buddy, blind, leading blind, heading to a ditch. Amen. I'm glad, praise God, thanks to the Word of God, we got the discernment of the Bible. We got the mirror of the Word of God. That we're proven of the Word of God. That we're reminded of the Word of God and the teaching of the Word of God. That helps by the Holy Spirit to wipe off the window so we don't have to look through a glass darkly. We see somewhat about this Jesus. Somewhat about His will for our life. Have you ever thought about the fact, how'd you know there was a devil? Have you ever thought about the fact, how'd you know there was a hell? Have you ever thought about the fact, how'd you know there was a heaven? If Jesus hadn't told us these things, man, I'd be down here and I wouldn't even realize the devil's causing all the trouble he does. Thanks be to God. Now the devil, he don't have the advantage. I've got a Bible that tells me about him. He don't have the advantage. The Bible said the devil's a liar and the father of it. I've got the truth, the Word of God. Jesus said, John 17:17, thy word is truth. I've got the truth. And I'll tell you what, thanks to the truth of the Word of God, I know now there is a devil down here. I understand how it works. Paul said, we're not ignorant of his devices. Amen. He said, if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant still. Paul come up on Mars Hill and he said, I notice you made an idol to an unknown God and him you ignorantly worship. He said, him I declare unto you. A lot of people ignorantly worshiping things today. Jesus told that woman, John 4, he said, you worship, you know not what. A lot of people in that category today. Worshiping things they don't know. The Bible talked about people worshiping devils, not even knowing it. But thanks to this Bible, praise God, I can know better. Thanks to this Bible, I know some of the problems Eddie Wade's got. Like I said, that first year I read that Bible, buddy, I didn't realize, I knew I was a sinner, but I didn't realize how big a sinner I was, Brother Alvis. I'll tell you what, when I read that Bible through, buddy, it kept me coming and going. But after all that right there, buddy, I'll tell you what, I took it under my bed, and I've been going on that ever since, amen. Well, man, I believe everybody ought to at least read the Bible through at least one time. You ought to read it through at least one time. Oh, me, there's just so much that we need to understand about our ways and the ways of God. I'll tell you what, we're crooked and He's straight. We want darkness and He's light. The Bible said He's pure, got pure eyes and look upon sin. And here I am, a sinner, saved by grace, but still got that problem. Paul said, that which I would I do not, that which I would not, that I do. He said, oh wretched man that I am. At least there's an honest man there in the Bible. He said, I really struggle living for God. He said, I have a desire to do things, and no matter how hard I try, he said, I find evil present with me. I'll tell you what, you're going to find the same thing. I found out, Brother Mevin, when I met my most relaxed ease is when I'm thinking, you know, I've got everything all right. Everything real smooth sailing now. Just sit back and enjoy the trip. That's when, buddy, I'm getting ready to be attacked. Amen. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, me. Who can understand his errors? Man, oh, man. We need to make sure that we give the most earnest heed to this Word right here. Give the most earnest heed to it. We might understand somewhat about eternal things. Man, I hear about aftermath of people getting killed. I hear about, you know, where they've took so much and died. And I hear about where they've committed suicide. And you hear about it and your ears tangle and you think, man, why couldn't I have done something? Can't understand their errors. You know, young boy, back here where I lived, I told y'all about two Sundays ago, a good friend of mine, Scott Combs, took his life, shot himself. So, and if I'd known about it, I'd tried to do something. But I can't understand things like that. If I'd done something. But God knew about it. And I'll tell you what, buddy, when you follow through something like that right there, I'll tell you what you do. You grieve the Holy Spirit of God, and you start getting in the flesh thinking, I know what I'm doing. The devil said, yeah, just do it. Do it. Do it. Me and Brother Ben was talking about this today. And I said, it's something the devil will get you to do something. Right after you do it, it changes his nature. And he says, look what you've done. Yeah. Takes on another stance about it. Instead of saying, do it now, he says, now look what you've done. I wouldn't live with myself if I'd done what you've done. And I tell you what, we got the advantage. We got the Bible. We can, through the Bible, understand our errors. Through the Bible, we can have discernment. Through the Bible, we can have light instead of darkness. Through the Bible, we can have knowledge instead of ignorance. And through the Bible, we can have strength instead of weakness.
That's right.
The Bible said, be strong in the Lord and power His might. Put on the whole armor of God. Father, we pray tonight. Lord, I've done the best I could this message, I believe. Father, more meat, Father, than I could cut up and deliver. But I pray, dear Father, Lord, tonight, maybe something said tonight. Lord, may the Holy Spirit, I pray, move upon it, Lord, and bring forth, Lord, some fruit. I thank you, Father, for the message, Lord, how true it is, Lord, that we just don't understand how you do things. We don't understand what you're doing. Lord, how true it is. Many times, Lord, we need you to help us and teach us and undergird us. And Lord, the work you've called us to do. We pray, dear Father, tonight, maybe something said tonight might be a blessing to someone. Maybe someone, Lord, to God tonight got something, Lord, that they needed to help them through the week. We thank you and praise you. Ask in Jesus' name your blessing upon our efforts tonight. Amen. I'd like to ask everybody to stand tonight. Listen, I don't know about you. You don't know about me. But I'll tell you one thing. God knows everything about you and loves you. He loves you, Sue. He loves you with everlasting love. The Bible said, having loved His own, He loved them unto the end. The Bible said, herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us, gave His Son, big perpetuation of our sin. God is love. I wish I could love like God does. A great day coming, a great day coming by and by,
when the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left.
Maybe you're here tonight lost. You think you got this thing all figured out? Brother Bell meets the day over at Brother Cal's house. About that man, Luke chapter 12. That his crop brought forth much. That man said, I'll say to my soul, Saul, thou hast much good laid up for many years. I'll tear down my barn to build bigger barns, a greater barn. God did him at night and said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. He didn't have tomorrow, he only had that night. That man made preparation to live, but he wasn't prepared to die. He went out unprepared for the Lord. Went out to meet the Lord unprepared. Maybe you're like that man, think you got it all figured out. Go and make bigger birds. Go and enjoy all the blessings. Better be ready. Jesus said, an hour you think not, the Son of Man comes. And also an hour you think not, death comes. Amen. Sometimes, like David said, it'll put a step between me and death. I don't know. I'll tell you one thing. I do my best to try to help you. Amen. Coming by and by. Good to come tonight. Ready to come. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Thank you, Brother Melvin. I've done the best I could tonight. I hope you've done the best you could. Because I'll tell you what, we all need help in the area I preached about tonight. When I think I've got things all figured out, buddy, that's when I need to realize, buddy, God, He's a whole lot bigger than any wage. Solomon said about God, the heaven of heavens can't contain you. He said, heaven's your throne, earth's your footstool. He's a big God, amen. Maybe somebody got a word on your heart tonight. I'll try my best to shut up. Wasn't expecting to get done this soon.
I love the Lord tonight. I thank Him for leaving His word behind.
Bless you, Mama.
You know, I've read the Bible through, and there to this day, I'll still come across things, and I'll say, well, I didn't know that was there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I love the way that He opens it up to you and lets you understand it.
Bless you, sister.
You don't have to go to someone else.
God bless you, Mama. That's
and
right. She's right.
For His word tonight, because that is our way home.
Amen. And that first time I read it through there, I trembled at His word. Boy, I ain't kidding you now. Man, oh man, it really set some things in order in my life, but it showed me how much God loved me and showed me how little I knew about God.
But there's one thing that will never measure up.
That's right. She's right. The Bible said we all sin and come short. That means you can't measure up. Coming short, that means it ain't quite what it's supposed to be. Lacks a little bit measuring up. All sin comes short of the glory of God. I'm glad, praise God, Jesus can make up that difference. Amen. He can help a man or woman measure up what they need to be.
There's one thing about
it.
When you really, really get into
it. Yeah. Honeycomb, sweet. Yeah. Dripping with honey. That's a good testimony, Molly. God bless you. Maybe somebody else got a word in your heart tonight. I love you tonight. Thank you for coming.
The message, you know, sometimes we'll be preemptive. Sometimes we'll hear, you know, but that's a good message. Girl, one right there. That was a good meat there, you know. When you're young, you drink milk, but you eat that meat like you preached in there tonight. That's good.
Yeah.
Stronger scriptures are a good message.
Bless you, Brother Melvin. Appreciate that. Exactly right. That was more of a pastoral type message. A lot of meat in there. Things that you wouldn't hear anywhere you heard tonight here. And I do appreciate the Lord putting that in my heart tonight. And it was tough on this little preacher.
It was true there.
Yeah. Sure enough, I'm guilty now of thinking that I sometimes know what needs to be done. Sometimes I'm guilty of thinking I know how I need to do things. And for lack of a better word, just need to give place to the Lord and let Him do His mighty works. And He does do mighty works. And I have seen Him work on people. Man, I've seen Him do some things, buddy, there wasn't no way to explain it, nor could you deny it. I mean, it was just one of the things that fit the category. It was God's doing, amen. Jesus said it like this. He said, this the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our sight. Maybe somebody else got a word tonight. If not, we'll let you go.
I'd like to thank God for saving my son.
Yeah, man.
And he was going to come to church tonight, but he had a fever blister, and he said, I'm not going until the next time.
Well, bless his heart. Said he got saved, huh?
My brother, William, was preaching at his house, and then Joey got up there and got saved.
Well, that's good. I like that. I like the sound of that. Amen. And he's going to come with you tonight, huh?
Yeah, he's going to start coming.
Well, praise the Lord. Yeah, we've been praying for you. Been longing to see him, and you just show up tonight.
I had to go to hospital last night. I've been sick.
Yeah.
Vomiting. I did it for about 4 nights.
What about Shayla?
She's doing better.
Good. I ain't seen her in a while, neither. We pray for y'all, sure do.
I was going to have her come tonight, but I couldn't get a hold of her.
Yeah. Yeah, I miss her, Miss June.
Yeah, I'm going to have her come with me.
Yeah. Good to have you here tonight. Yeah.
Good.
What about anybody else? Got a word tonight?
Brother Eddie, I want to thank the Lord for the reading of His word and what it means.
Amen.
I pray
in the holy name. And we read quite a bit of Bible now. You ought to be caught up on your Bible reading. I don't usually read that much scripture, but I felt no other way to touch what I wanted to speak about tonight. And God's just in a category of His own. I mean, you can't compare Him to anything else. He's just God.
Is it Proverbs where it says, or Psalms, or Proverbs where it says, play or sing or play skillfully?
Yeah, that's in Psalms, yeah.
You said it's play, but he said let's play skillfully.
Yeah. Yeah, it's in Psalms.
They're the best hymns they've ever been.
Yeah.
When we're singing to the Lord, you know.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Lord blesses our effort. I've never been able to do what I wanted to do, but God's always blessed every effort I ever put forth.
Never was overloaded with talent
and self. Me neither, brother. But, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ. It strengthens me, and we can. Lord, help us. Oh, we're done tonight? Brother Bobby, dismiss this word of prayer. Brother, thank you for coming. Don't forget about Wednesday night. Pray about it. Come. We're going to have a short business meeting, and I'll be able to be here looking forward to being with you. Dismiss us, there, Brother Bobby.
Thank you, Lord, for this thing.